Well, hello and a very warm welcome to The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post in association with Free Super Tips. And what a time to be alive, because Elvis is in the building. Steve Palmer, back of the net, 80-1 winner. Take a bow, sir.
What a week, Dave. No, thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm all shook up. I haven't fully recovered from the dramas. Incredible week, almost a perfect week. Obviously, we had Bocco's Diamond winning the Irish Greyhound Derby. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. So I couldn't resist that. So the hound dog did the business, and then Elvis did the business in the Australian PGA Championship. So there was a sort of 12-hour spell where I was euphoric.
Yeah, I gathered that, as I did receive a WhatsApp at 3:26 a.m. I'm not going to lie and pretend that I stayed up to cheer Elvis Smiley on, but you certainly did.
I don't know who was. I mean, yeah, there was no responses in the early hours from anyone. I was lonesome that night. Sorry, we're going to have to get lots of Elvis chat in here. But yeah, almost a perfect weekend. Luke Littler, if he had won the Players' Championship darts finals on Sunday night, it would have been exquisite. But he lost in the final, Luke Humphries. But I mustn't grumble about that. Yeah, I'm off to buy myself a nice pair of blue suede shoes.
Lovely. So we had sort of Donald Trump, Bocco's Diamond, Elvis, line bets going. Lovely.
Yeah. It's very satisfying. But as you say, the hour that it was won was the most difficult aspect. I had to stay up. I mean, Elvis Smiley would have cost the bookmakers a fair penny last week, because he opened up 125-1 on Monday and was very well supported. I'd like to hear from some squealing bookmakers, because I'm sure there's plenty out there.
And we've not got any squealing bookmakers, but we have got lots of people who are on in the YouTube comments.
Now, yes,
you are watching us here on the Racing Post YouTube channel, so do get involved. We try and be interactive. Like, comment, and subscribe to the channel. Some of the comments then. Nice pick with Elvis. This was from Mr. Goffey 123. We also had someone calling in for a bit of merch. Aaron says, "Hey Steve, please sell merch. Everyone in the chat will buy something, especially after all the good tips you've produced over the years. Fancy a Make Golf Great Again? Maybe we could get a hat going, Steve. What do you think?"
I do like that idea. Yeah, we should get some Sweet Spot merch. Tell him we're going to act on that.
We'll try and act on that. Gary Clark says, "You're the best, Steve. That was just one of 80s. Amazing." Loads of people are on 80s, 70s, 60s. NFC says, "Well done, Steve. Brilliant tipping. I hope you weren't all shook up watching that." Did you manage to go to bed afterwards, Steve? Did you just stay up? What did you do?
It's a long story. It's a really long story, Dave. I went to bed just after the darts finished on Saturday night. So the darts finished at about 11. So then I had a couple of hours sleep, set my alarm for 1 a.m. But because the Sky Sports website put me away, the Sky Sports website said that live coverage would come on at 1 a.m. on Sky Sports Plus. You know that new thing, Sky Sports Plus? Well, it has all sorts of stuff in. So I set my alarm for 1 a.m. and, sneaked suspiciously out of the marital bed at 1 a.m. "We can't go on together with suspicious minds, with suspicious minds." So the wife wondered why I was getting up at 1 a.m. Probably thought it was my dodgy prostate playing up again. So I went down at 1 a.m. absolutely fuming. When I saw that there was no live coverage, there was nothing on Sky Sports Plus. No. So there was basically no live coverage until 2:30 a.m. So I'm sitting there chatting to the dog for an hour and a half, checking the scores online. And then when it came on at 2:30 a.m., the first shot I saw was Cameron Smith putting for birdie to take the lead. And then he three putted. Yeah, I thought, oh, here we go. Yeah, I'm going to be checking into Heartbreak Hotel. But then Cameron Smith three putted from fairly short range. And I thought, right, we're in it. Elvis Smiley birdied that hole. That was the sixth hole. Then he birdied the seventh hole to take control of the tournament. So, yeah, from about 3 a.m., I was feeling pretty cozy about life. Elvis hardly missed a shot on the front nine. He was brilliant on the front nine, four under par for the front nine. And on the back nine, he turned into Theriberth. I mean, he was just he was getting up and down from everywhere. It was loads of courageous par saves. I mean, you remember the previous week when we were on Wrath of Hogar, and we didn't enjoy being trapped in the toilet, did we, on the par train? Yeah. Elvis Smiley parred every hole of the back nine, the same as Hoggard did, but this was a much more enjoyable ride on the powertrain because it was keeping his nose in front.
Yeah, he was in first class carriage. That's why
he was in the first class carriage. He was in the first class carriage. It was just so gutsy. It was courageous on that back nine for a fella that hadn't won a DP World Tour event. You know, it's changed his life now. So yeah, finished at about 6 a.m. and then so I had 2 hours kip at the start of the night, and then I went back and had another 2 hours kip at 6 a.m. and then got up at 8 a.m. to tackle Sunday. So yeah, exhausted but happy.
Exhausted but buoyed. Right, more comments. Mark Lewis, hell of a pick that one, Steve. Steo123, serious knowledge from the best tipster in the business, Steve Palmer. On at a big price. Thank you, sir. Joseph Andrew Shaw says, well done on the Elvis Smiley pick. It was excellent all week. Sinclair Campbell, another one that was on 80s. What else we got? We did have another one. Here we go. CJ Clay, thanks so much. 100-1, early doors. Yeah. Yeah. It must have been on. And there lots of people just pounding those pesky bookmakers, which I know you enjoy as much as getting on yourself, Steve.
I do, and there's millions of bookmakers out there, and there would have been some 100-1 available for a long time with lesser firms. You know, we try to tip with firms that we trust. Fantastic, fantastic for Elvis Smiley, and what a big future he's got ahead of him. He's only 22 years of age, DP World Tour card in his pocket now. And his older sister lives in England, Dave. So his older sister lives in England. That could provide a nice base for him. I wouldn't be surprised if he bases himself in England and to go to the events in Europe. So, the world is Elvis's oyster. And, I'm expecting him to enjoy a glorious career eventually on the PGA Tour, probably, which is where they all like to end up.
Well, we'll get on to the PGA Tour. But what we'll say is both winners this week, wonderful heads of hair. Don't know if you was sort of on hair watch, but wonderful markets on the pair of them. Anything else to sort of take away, Steve? Obviously, the tournament was shortened to 54 holes, wasn't it?
Yeah. We had some rain. Yeah, we were expecting some rain. Wiped out a day's play. Cameron Smith, 15-2 runner-up. Bit sort of scrappy in contention. Again, that's two Sundays running where he's had a poor Sunday. He made four bogeys on Sunday, not been closing events well. Chipped in for birdie on the 17th. Yeah, really put the willies up me. It was a comfortable ride until the 17th hole. Smith chipped in and Elvis missed a short birdie putt. So it was two shots ahead going up the last. And yeah, there was some late drama. You should watch the highlights if you haven't already.
I've watched them, yeah.
Yeah. That last hole again, when the drive went behind the tree. I was put through the ringer there. But Cameron Smith will be disappointed with his effort. Mark Leishman would be disappointed with his effort. Both the live guys there, Leishman really unconvincing in contention. Yet to win on the Australasian Tour, Dave, Mark Leishman at the age of 41. So,
which is amazing
for a player of that quality. It's poor. And there's just two more I want to mention before we move on to the PGA Tour because I think they deserve it. Angel Ayora, finished sixth last week. You know, a lot of these Challenge Tour players that graduated into these events. I have no experience of playing in Australia. So I was really impressed with Ayora last week. 73, 67, 64. I think he's got a massive future, this lad. He was the last name off my Australian Open shortlist. We've got the Australian Open coming up this week. Very close to having Ayora in the staking plan, but he's just missed out. And then Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen. You know my love for this lad. He finished eighth last week. Again, no experience of playing in Australia. Great effort, that. I can see Ayora and Nygaard-Petersen going well again in the Australian Open, but they're not in the staking plan.
Well done, Steve. Wire-to-wire success. Wonderful.
Thank you.
80-1 advice. There's bigger prices out there. Beautiful. And this is your time of the year, right?
This is my time. I like autumn. I like autumn. The Conquers are resting. Some fellow had first round leader as well, I saw on the comments. So he was first round leader and the winner. Well done to that guy for doubling up there. But I like this time of the year. And we've got about a month to go, haven't we, before we can have our little Christmas break.
Wonderful. Right, let's move on then to the RSM Classic, which was won by Maverick McNeely, who kicked off with an opening round 62. It was his first success, 134th start, and he made his way to the winner's enclosure for the first time. You've been on him a few times, Steve. I've been on him a few times. I'd given up on him, in all truth. But it was very impressive again.
Well, Bruce Millington, when he presented this show, always used to say I was too loyal to players. You know, I stayed too patient with them through the years. But you know, it was the opposite case with McNeely. I should have stayed with him a little bit longer. He was 33-1 last week, but I've just been hurt too many times, Dave, by Maverick. You know, he's led me on. He regularly broke my heart. I know he's broke your heart too. My last date with him was in September. Do you remember the Pro Core Championship? He was my number one pick for the Pro Core Championship. He flopped there. And I, like you, I just thought, I cannot put myself through this any longer. I've got to find guys who treat me a bit better. Yeah, that was me done with Maverick. So, yeah, I'm obviously frustrated, but, yeah, I just feel that, yeah, you can't stay. You can't. Was it the expression about following them off a cliff? Yeah, I've been accused of following players off a cliff, and I was probably close to doing that with McNeely. It's him and Davis Riley. They're the two that have cost me most money through the years. Yeah, Maverick McNeely owes me.
No, fortune. I'm not having that. What about Thomas Peters?
Thomas Peters, I've actually won a few times with him, but I don't think I've never backed Davis Riley successfully, and I've never backed Maverick McNeely successfully. Maverick McNeely's a billionaire, and he owes me a few quid. Maybe he'll send me a check if you feel sorry for
me. Well, we can be very fickle as punters, Steve. Now Maverick McNeely has won and tasted it. Could he be maybe back on the radar and be a player that you're kind of looking at in future as a... You know, he might. I quite like the idea of this winning, and he's going to have that swagger around him, which he kind of got anyway with the big bank balance already secured. Yeah. Could he be another winner going forward?
Well, the reaction was incredible, wasn't it? You could literally see the monkey leaping off his shoulders there, couldn't he? The monkey came off his back. He was just going bananas, wasn't he? He couldn't get over it. I think he was surprised that two under par was enough to win the golf tournament because, you know, it was set up for low scoring. There wasn't any wind on Sunday. I thought the final groups, the quality of play in the final groups was really quite poor. So I think McNeely was sort of going bananas through just, he couldn't quite believe what had happened. And he's obviously blown so many chances and then got the job done by a shot. But I think you're right. I think McNeely going forward is definitely back on the radar. But he was fortunate last week because, as I say, nobody else played well in those final groups, and he was on the right side of the draw. There was a significant draw bias early in that tournament last week, Dave. I was fuming about that. I was fuming with the Sky Sports website. I was fuming about the draw bias in the RSM Classic. There was a 3.5 shot draw bias over the first 36 holes. Playing the seaside course on Friday in a howling gale was a disaster for those guys. My three picks were on the wrong side of the draw. Yeah, Davis Thompson, Austin Eckroat and Seamus Power. I don't think it mattered with Seamus Power. He was awful. He withdrew with a bad back after four holes of round two. But Davis Thompson and Eckroat will be cheesed off with a draw there. Do you remember we were talking about the potential for nepotism with Todd Thompson, the tournament director? He didn't. He did the opposite. He gave Davis the role. You know, Davis has every right to hate his dad now. I expect Davis hates his dad.
I'll put you on the spot a little bit here, but whenever I think or you know, hear you talk about a draw bias, have you spotted anyone that maybe outperformed everyone else in the bad half of the draw? Did anyone kind of go well that you thought, wow, he's actually played better than the form actually suggests because of the weather?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's all lodged in the old brain box there.
Do you want to share one or two of them with us?
Well, I thought Michael Thorbjornsson deserved a lot of credit because he was on the wrong side of the draw. You know my love for Michael Thorbjornsson. Yes. Another rising star of the circuit. He was returning from a knee injury and did really well, tied for eighth place in the end. So, yeah, keep an eye on him going forward. Obviously, another player was returning from a knee injury last week, Ludwig Aubert. A real roller coaster ride for his backers last week. 73, obviously lots of rust in the system. 64, 71, 64. So he shot two rounds of 64 last week in his first start for ages, finished 17th. We'll see him again next week in the Hero World Challenge Tigers event. So Ludwig Aubert, we got a bit of thinking to do on him. And then the other two I should mention, Dave, before we move on. Luke Clanton. Did you see that we had another amateur winning? Amateur.
He was brilliant.
Because Phil Mickelson and Nick Dunlap are the only amateurs to win on the PGA Tour. We nearly had a third. He bogeyed the final hole, lost by a shot. You know, he's another world-class amateur on the scene. And the other fella that bogeyed the final hole and lost by a shot was Nico Echeverria. I had mixed feelings about him because he was last name off the pre-tournament shortlist. We mentioned him last week. Went for Seamus Power instead, which was a horrific decision. Should have had Echeverria. But I got on Echeverria in running. We tipped him at 45-1 on GolfWise Extra on Sunday morning. So Echeverria was turned into it. Yeah, would have been a really hugely profitable result actually, and he bogeyed the last lose by shot. So yeah, mixed feelings, but I'm just determined not to grumble. I had a mate yesterday having a good go at me because I was moaning about Luke Littler, and he says, "What is wrong with you? Why are you moaning about Luke Littler?"
I'll make it right as well. just on that, Steve, very quickly, because obviously, you know, Wednesday's Racing Post here on the Sweet Spot, but your coverage for Racing Post readers and users online spans across kind of the whole event, doesn't it? So what else do you offer? Or do we offer?
It does. And Racing Post Members Club is great value. And you get access to all the best horse racing stuff, and you get access to all of our golf previews early. And on Sunday morning, you have the Golf Wise Extra. So yeah, we put up Nico Echeverria on Sunday morning, and he almost got the job done. But it was a shame what happened on that last hole.
Yeah, I'm very much with your mate, I'm afraid. Snap yourself out of it, mate. It's, if an 80-1 winner can't put a smile on your face, you know, nothing will. So wonderful.
Yeah. Agreed.
Brilliant. Agreed. Brilliant. Right, shall we move on then? We've done looking back, unless there's anything else to add, Steve. We can look forward. We've only got one tournament this week, the 107th Australian Open. Where in Australia are we off to?
We're off to Melbourne. We got Kingston Heath Golf Club and Victoria Golf Club. Kingston Heath is a 7,259-yard par 72. Victoria is a 6,887-yard par 71. Two famous tracks on the Melbourne sand belt. Yeah, this is like golfing paradise for you know, if you're ever planning a golfing trip and you've got unlimited funds, then you basically want to head to the Melbourne sand belt. Both courses will be used over the first two rounds, with the final two rounds played at Kingston Heath. So three rounds at Kingston Heath, one at Victoria. When these courses hosted the Australian Open in 2022, it was the opposite. We had three rounds at Victoria, one at Kingston Heath. That Aussie Open is the main event for course form punters to look at. The rest of the course form is a lot older. We've got fast running fairways, undulating firm greens, sunny and calm for the vast majority of the event. 156 players going to post. Place your bets by 8 p.m. Wednesday night. Get that Clacton in, Dave. Yeah, roust the punters.
Give us an attribute. What are we looking for? What sort of player are we looking for this week?
Yeah, short game class, I think, Dave, is most important. It's crucial. You've got fast, undulating dance floors. Getting up and down around these greens is tough. There's no easy putts. So, yeah, I think you've got to have short game class on your side.
Right, before we get into the show, we've got the defending champion heading the market here. Name the last Australian to win the Australian Open, Steve. Blimey. I'll give you a clue. It was in 2019.
Yeah, it has been a long time, isn't it? Can you give me the stat on how many non-Australians have won the last eight or something? No, I know there's been a run of it. 2019, oh, blimey. Adam Scott, no. God, tell me.
Matt Jones.
Oh, of course, yes, in Sydney. Yeah. Matt Jones, he's won it a couple of times, hasn't he? Yeah. The Australians haven't been doing too well in this lately, but I think that's like a quirk, isn't it? Because you've had some really world-class non-Australians win it. Rory McIlroy's won it. Jordan Spieth's won it, hasn't it? It's one of those stats that could suck you in.
It's an unofficial stat. I've not verified it. I just found it online, but there you go.
Have a look at the recent winners of the Australian Open. There's lots of non-Australians. But as I say, I think it's a quirk. I wouldn't get sucked in. If you get sucked in, leap out again.
Okay. Right, let's have a look at the show then, shall we? Neiman, 9-2, heads the betting. Cam Smith, 7s. Minwoo Lee, 9s. Mark Leishman, 12. Lucas Herbert, 14. Cam Davis, 16. 20-1 bar. How many selections for this one, Steve?
We got 6 selections because there's only one tournament. I like the look of it. Let's give it a good go.
Okay, right. 6 selections. I hope there's some big prices in there, Steve. Who is the main pick then for the Australian Open?
Lucas Herbert. 14-1, Lucas Herbert. Keeping the faith despite a disappointing effort in the Aussie PGA. I actually think he may have still been hung over last week, Dave. I've been reading some quotes for him. When the Aussie PGA started last week, I think he was still feeling the effects of the previous week. He had extremely hearty celebrations, Dave, after winning the New South Wales Open the previous Sunday. His favourite pub is a 90-minute drive from where he won that New South Wales Open. he texted the proprietor after winning and said, you've got to open it up late today, mate. We're all coming down. So it's a fascinating story.
It's like he was there. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
He's texted the proprietor. He said, stayed over late. Obviously, the proprietor, if he gets a live golfer saying, I want to come down and spend loads of money in your pub, he's going to stay open late. So he did stay open late. Lucas got all his mates down there for a big party. He said that the trophy that he had could fit 7 beers in it. He could get 7 beers. He was drinking from the trophy.
Which was obviously tested, yeah.
It sounds like a riotous affair. He described it as he celebrated appropriately. That's how he put it. I didn't know about that before last week, and I apologise for putting him up because, perhaps he wasn't in good shape. I didn't think a first Australasian tour success would result in such antics, but I know it meant a lot to him to win his first event in Australia. And then it didn't help that on Thursday, he played in the most difficult of the conditions in round one. It was very breezy for the late starters on Thursday. He carded a 71, so he's playing catch up from the off. Played well on Saturday, shot 66. Slow start Sunday, well out of contention, probably lost interest, tied for 43rd place. So I expect Herbert to be refreshed, refocused, and I think he'll claim a first Australian Open title. These courses suit him. You talk about short game. Herbert's always been world-class on and around the greens. He finished 10th in that Australian Open I mentioned in 2022. And there's more to the story than that because the previous week, he had to withdraw from the Aussie PGA with a back injury. He lasted 10 holes of round two and then withdrew with a bad back. So it was touch and go whether he was going to play in that Australian Open. He did play. He finished 10th. This time, no fitness concerns. Hangover cleared. I'm expecting huge things from a player that we were waxing lyrical about him last week and all his achievements. 3 DP World Tour wins, 1 PGA Tour win, now 1 Australasian Tour win. He's banked a fortune on LIV. And then one final point, Dave, his motivation is higher for this week than it was last week because there's Open Championship spots up for grabs. 3 players can get an Open Championship berth this week. Obviously, the LIV players struggle to get in majors. Yeah, I'd be really motivated to book an Open spot.
Case made, well and truly, and he's 14-1. So there you go, main selection from Steve, first of 6, Lucas Herbert, 14-1. Right, who is the next best, Steve?
David Micheluzzi, a general 22-1 chance, another short game wizard. Brilliant on the greens, holds everything. He's a Melbourne man, guaranteed to be a fan's favourite this week. He's grown up playing these courses. He was a great amateur. He won the Victoria Amateur Championship in 2017. He was second in the 2022 Sandbelt Invitational in Melbourne. A round of that event was staged at Kingston Heath. He's won 4 times on the Australasian Tour. The last of them was the Victoria PGA Championship last year. He's back in Victoria this week. He's back to a pair of venues where he finished 10th alongside Herbert in the Australian Open 2 years ago. And he's back as a much more confident player because he's since proved himself at a higher grade on the DP World Tour. Micheluzzi earned a DP World Tour card through winning the Australasian Order of Merit last year. He's handled the upgrade really well. 7th in the Singapore Classic in March. 10th in the Italian Open. 2nd in the BMW International in July. 10th in the Danish Golf Championship. He made it all the way to the Abu Dhabi Championship, qualified for the playoffs there. Didn't quite make the DP World Tour Championship, but blessing in disguise for his backers this week. Nice little breather before the Aussie PGA. And he was loving being back in his homeland last week, Dave. He was he finished 5th. He finished 5th last week in the Aussie PGA. And he was the one that was providing most entertainment for me and all the night owls in the UK. He was giving the big hand clap to the party hole. They had the party hole, the 17th hole. And Micheluzzi was absolutely loving it and played well last week. And I think he'll provide even more entertainment this week.
Yeah, he sounds like he's going to as well. So we'll add him. Then he's what price did you say? I can see 28-1 at the moment.
Yeah, general 22s. Yeah, I don't like to tip at standout prices because by the time this comes out, it might be a bit worse. But yeah, 22-1.
Okay, lovely. Right, I hope the prices get bigger, Steve. Who have we got next?
No, they do. Oh, don't you worry. Yeah, they get progressively bigger.
Beautiful.
We're getting bigger and bigger and bigger, Dave. And the third selection is Kazuma Kobori, 55-1. Kazuma Kobori, a 23-year-old rising star. We had a 22-year-old win last week in Elvis Smiley. Maybe another young gun is about to make his mark. This lad, born in Japan, moved to New Zealand when he was 6 years old with his family. It wasn't a decision he made alone. His family relocated to New Zealand when Kazuma was 6 years old. and he's developed into a great golfer in New Zealand. He's succeeded in junior events in Victoria, I noticed. He won his first Australasian Tour event in 2019 when he was still an amateur. That was a four-shot romp in the New Zealand PGA Championship. He won the Australia Amateur last year. He won the Western Amateur, which is an elite amateur event in Illinois. Then in his final event as an amateur, he finished sixth in the Asia Pacific Championship in October last year. That was staged at Royal Melbourne. He's back in Melbourne 13 months later, a much more confident golfer because he's won three times on the Australasian Tour this year. One of those wins was in Victoria at Rosebud Country Club, which is about a 45-minute drive from Kingston Heath. He was seventh in the Sandbelt Invitational in Melbourne last year. The first round of that event was at Victoria Golf Club. He was 12th in the Dunhill Links on the DP World Tour in October. He finished 15th last week in the Aussie PGA. So excited to be back in Kazuma Kobori this week, Dave.
Would you say he's trending in the right direction?
Oh, my God.
Like that one.
I love that one. He is certainly trending in the right direction, Dave. Yeah, enormous price.
Big price, that one. Right, so we've got more to come then. Who else you got for us this week?
Wenyi Ding. Another 55-1 chance. Another young gun ready to blast his way into contention. A Beijing boy bursting with ability. He won the US Junior Amateur Championship in 2022. He was the first Chinese player to win a USGA title. He's just starred at Arizona State University. That's the same college which made Phil Mickelson, John Rahm, amongst others. Ding broke loads of records at Arizona State. He was a prolific champion there. World number three amateur. And he topped the global amateur pathway standings. You may not have heard of them, Dave. They're quite a new creation. The global amateur pathway standings. But the winner of that gets a DP World Tour card. So the point is, Ding has already got a DP World Tour card. He's not got that pressure that Elvis handled so well on Sunday. He's a DP World Tour player. And he was so thrilled to get that card that he decided to turn professional straight away and start using it because he turned pro last month, Dave. This is a newly minted pro. And you might think it's an easy decision to turn pro, got loads of ability, blah, blah, blah. But bear in mind that he won the Asia Pacific Amateur at the start of last month, which means had he stayed an amateur, he would have qualified for the Masters next year, the Open Championship next year. But Ding, you know, ready to earn big bucks right now. He's turned pro, given up those exemptions. So, he's so good. He probably thinks he can qualify for the Masters and the Open anyway, in a different route as a pro. But, Ding, all class, a 20-year-old, going places. He played in the Australian Open that we mentioned 2 years ago, these venues, and he finished 47th. So great effort when you consider still an amateur. He'd only just turned 18 years of age. He almost won the Asia Pacific Amateur at Royal Melbourne last year. He lost in a playoff in that. So back in Melbourne this week, missed the cut by a shot in Brisbane last week, but title contender this week. I feel confident about that.
Are we talking about an emerging superstar there, Steve, that people perhaps that are in the golf bubble will know about, but the casual golf punter won't know about?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Wenyi Ding, you're a strapping lad. He's got all the tools and he's now got all the confidence. You know, there's a lot of these players that have got the tools but not the confidence. Wenyi Ding, prolific winner as an amateur. He could be the new John Rahm. Could be the new John Rahm, given what he's achieved at the same college as Rambo. But definitely worth chancing in this grade because this is not a great event. Australian Open has got a proud history, a very prestigious title to have, but the field is not of great quality.
What's the reason for that, Steve? Given this is the only event this week.
Yeah, time of the year, money. I hate to say it, but the prize purse is not that great, is it? I think it's smaller than the prize money for last week's Australian PGA. Jason Day's gone back to America. Got to ask questions about that. Why would you come over for the Aussie PGA and then go back?
Adam Scott, is he injured or anything?
Adam Scott, no. Adam Scott says he's tired after a long season. He's all burnt out, so usually attends these, but so he's gone back. No Adam Scott. So yeah, there's players missing, and we'll come on to the market leaders later. But I don't fancy him.
Okay, right. We are three in, I think, of the six. Who else you got for us?
We're four in, I believe, Dave. And we've got,
okay, yeah.
We've got two big price ones, two massive good prices to finish the staking plan. And the first of them is Curtis Luck. 125-1, Curtis Luck, a 28-year-old who has been struggling to fulfill his enormous potential. Luck won the 2016 US Amateur. You know, they don't come more prestigious than that in the amateur game. He won on the Australasian Tour when still an amateur that year. He was the world number one amateur in 2017. He turned pro in April that year. We were all expecting big things from Curtis Luck as a pro. I'm sure you were, Dave, back in 2017. It hasn't really happened, but he has achieved a fair bit. I mean, he finished fifth in a PGA Tour event that summer in 2017, the Quicken Loans National. Then he played well on the Korn Ferry Tour. He had a PGA Tour card in 2019, dropped back to the Korn Ferry Tour in 2020, won one of the biggest tournaments on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2020. So he's a Korn Ferry Tour winner. 2021, 2022 were disappointing. Last year was encouraging. Six top 20s on the Korn Ferry Tour. He was second in the Nationwide Children's Hospital Championship. Then he finished fourth in the Australian PGA. This year started poorly, but his best result of the year came in the Western Australia Open a month ago. Elvis Smiley won that one, Dave. Curtis Luck finished only a shot behind. So coming back to his home country revitalised Curtis Luck. The talent remains. Like Herbert, he got a bad draw last week. Did I mention that? The Thursday draw. I think he's worth chancing at a massive price in a week deeper World Tour event.
Steve, I would never doubt you because you've forgotten more about betting on golf than I'll ever know. But you do love a former world number one amateur. Oh,
yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah. But they win a lot of tournaments. Yeah, Maverick.
I'm not doubting they do, but you love it. You love it.
Oh no, Jack Reed used to give you all sorts of stick.
I'm sure you do your shortlist. You do your shortlist, and one of the boxes that need to be ticked are, was this player ever a former world number one amateur?
Yeah, that's it. But it's so difficult to get that status these
days.
So Maverick McNealy, just sort of, he's underlined the quality of those former world number one amateurs last week. But Curtis Luck had the world at his feet, but he's only 28. He's had a couple of fallow years, but I'm not giving up on Curtis Luck, Dave, and I don't think you should either.
Is he still a young man at 28?
Young man! Yeah, he's 28. He's a lot younger than me.
Me as well. Right, so, I mean, I've lost count, clearly, but we've got one more to come.
We've got one more to come, right? Hayden Hopewell, 250-1. Easy to back at 250-1. You can get double out there if you look around. Hayden Hopewell should not be 250-1. A highly promising Australian youngster. His nickname is Houdini Hopewell, because of his ability to escape from seemingly impossible positions. He finished 27th on his Australian Open debut in 2019. He was a teenage amateur at that point. He won the 2020 Western Australia Open on the Australasian Tour when he was still an amateur. He was brilliant as an amateur for the 2022 season on the Australasian Tour. He turned pro in November of 2022. Then he finished 10th in the Australian Open that we've mentioned at the two venues being used this week in 2022. So he was 10th alongside Herbert and Michelucci. We know he can handle the Australasian Tour. He tried the Challenge Tour this season. Obviously, that means a lot more travel. It's quite difficult for when you're based in Australia to be traveling all around the globe. He found it a slog. At the end of September, though, he found some form. He was 7th in the Italian Challenge, 5th in the Swiss Challenge. He was 27th in the Challenge Tour Grand Final at the start of this month. No joy at DP World Tour Q School. And then last week, he got a terrible round one tee time. He was last out on the first day. So playing in the breeze, playing alongside a pair of chumps, you know, is unsettling playing with such rubbish playing partners. No disgrace in the end of finishing 43rd in the Aussie PGA last week. Hopefully he's shown more respect by the organisers of the Australian Open, gets a better tee time. And I think, crucially, not crucially, but icing on the cake, maybe inspired by Elvis Smiley's exploits, because they share a coach, Dave. Hayden Hopewell and Elvis Smiley are both coached by Richie Smith. So I think seeing his stablemate win so impressively last week, must instill a bit of confidence that he's working on the right things and he's in the right camp. I think that is a factor worth mentioning. So, it could be a big fortnight for Richie Smith if another one of his pupils you know, makes their breakthrough. He's got a great short game as Hayden Hopewell. He's got a great motto for life. Do you know what his motto for life is, Dave?
I didn't know it was called Houdini to start with, but go on.
Hayden Houdini Hopewell, his motto for life is work hard, dream big. It's on his Instagram and everything. Work hard, dream big. I like that motto. And then the final point, Dave, because I'll probably keep you all here all day if I'm not careful. Hayden Hopewell's birthday is today. He's turned 23 today. So
that's not watching, a reason to back in.
Well, if you positive vibes, have a really nice birthday on tournament. If you're watching, Hayden, happy birthday and good luck this week. You know, maybe you'll have a trophy to go with your birthday balloons by Sunday.
You made a strong enough case for him at 250-1 without knowing that it was his birthday. But listen, playing with chumps is not going to be fun. I know that much. I mean, I've backed a few of them in my time, but that's far from ideal. I like it, Steve. Big monster price, the last one, right?
Yeah, very excited by Hayden Hopewell. Very excited with one event. You can really sink your teeth into it, can't you? So I'd back all those players each way. Get as many places as you can, and avoid the front of the market, because there's
well, I was just having a look at the market now. Neiman, the jolly at 9-2. No love for Neiman.
I think it's a really short price. I mean, he's the defending champion, of course, but that was at different venues, and he's not been putting well. I think there's a real premium on short game this week. Neiman has not been putting well, and you know, you could say that about a few of the other market leaders. Who do you want to talk about next?
Cameron Smith.
Cameron Smith did not putt as well as he usually does last week. 7-1. I can easily ignore that because, he'd probably be there or thereabouts again. But he's had two Sundays back-to-back where he's been really disappointing. And the course is being used this week. You know, his record on these courses is not great. He finished 47th in that Australian Open we keep going on about in 2022. Bear in mind, he was world number 3 going into that tournament. And he just won the Australian PGA. So bursting with confidence, teeing up 2 years ago in this event, and was a massive flop. So, Cameron Smith I can avoid again. And then, Minwoo Lee, he's similar price to Cameron Smith. Like Neiman, Minwoo Lee not been putting well. You know, he's lost self-belief on the greens. He used to be a great putter. He isn't anymore. Hopefully he'll get it back for, long term. I love Minwoo Lee. I want him to get his spunk back on the greens.
Three players at single digit prices. It's mad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can definitely avoid all three of them. And
what
then
about gave the Leishman the Leishman stat? He's next in at 12s. I mean, that was pretty grim, the stat you gave. I suppose it's now or never, right?
Yeah, 41 years of age, never won on his home circuit. And just really unconvincing in that final group. Because you felt for Elvis Smiley in that final group last week, because Mark Leishman, Cameron Smith, great mates. Elvis, might have felt like a little bit of an outsider there. I know he has spent some time with Cameron Smith, but that just added to the courage that Elvis showed to defeat the two best buddies in the final three ball there. People might be wondering why we're not staying on the Elvis train this week. It's tempting. I'm surprised he's 40-1.
There's been a little bit of money around for him. He's still a big price. 60.
I can understand.
Yeah, top price 60.
Is he? Yeah, I can understand people playing a little bit, but I was tempted. I thought he'd be shorter than he is, but it's just a big ask to go straight from such an emotional win. I mean, his mum probably still hasn't stopped crying. She was an emotional wreck. To do it so quickly, so soon. And these courses don't suit him as much as last week's did. You know, he knew last week's course like the back of his hand. And one point that most people who didn't stay up all night probably won't know about, but he won't have the same caddy this week, Dave. He had Dwayne Smith caddying for him last week. Dwayne Smith is the husband of Sarah Jane Smith, who is a lady professional. Sarah Jane Smith, of course, is playing in the Women's Australian Open this week, which takes place at the same time as the Men's Australian Open. So hubby Dwayne is off to caddy for his missus.
Surely he's got to lock him in now as his full-time caddy, no?
Well, tell that to Sarah Jane Smith. Dwayne's going back to his wife. She'll have the wooden spoon out if he imagine if he goes and says, Sarah, I just want to caddy for Elvis because he's much better than you. he'd get a wooden spoon around the chop. So yeah, different caddy for Elvis this week, which is another reason for avoiding him.
Great point. A lot of people would have missed that. So interesting. Yeah. Anything else to add then? So they've only had one tournament, but you've put plenty of meat on the bones for the Australian Open.
Yeah. No, I think just six each way plays. And we'll finish the year strongly. Very keen on ending the year on a high.
Well, we are on a high right now. Right, let's have a roundup then of the your selections for the Australian Open. Go, top to bottom.
Lucas Herbert, David Micheluzzi, Kazuma Kobori, Denny Wing. Sorry, I got so excited there. I said his name wrong. Wen Yi Ding. Ding dong, Wen Yi Ding. Sorry, there's so many. Six tips is too much, isn't it? You can't get your rhythm. Curtis Luck, Hayden Hopewell. So, yeah, we got one short one, one fairly short prize, and then some biggies at the end. I think it's an exciting package. Are you excited by this package, Dave? It's a viable staking.
I'm going to have to play Hopewell at the prices. I love that they share the same coach. I love that sort of thing. You know, that winning mentality, the vibes in the camp, everything.
Yeah.
I love all that.
Stable, mate. Well, I mean, obviously we've got lots of people who love horse racing watching this show. Stable mates. Yeah, you often back a stable mate, don't you? Because the trainer's in form. So, yeah. Yeah, I obviously it's slightly different with golfers, but I think it's a fact.
Well, I promise everyone that's watching, this will be our final mention of ground racing. But I've got to ask you, I think you are Bocco's Diamond's number one fan. You was on him throughout the Irish Derby. Just explain your love of the Irish Derby champion, Bocco's Diamond.
Yeah. My favourite dog ever. I mean, it's funny because my favourite dog prior to this was Notebook. You might be too young to remember Notebook, but he's a very prolific winner. I'm not sure what it did win, but I used to love Notebook because it had such track craft. It was the most intelligent dog I'd ever seen. Like, it would never get in trouble. It would just like plot its way around and win lots of races. So Notebook won me a lot of money back in the day. And now I think Bocco's Diamond is taken over as my favorite ground. It's just exceptional speed. And, the three dog put it down to him on Saturday night, didn't it? The three dog broke well. But Bocco still found a way to get to the Ben first. So yeah, Bocco's Diamond, do your research, guys. The greatest greyhound on the planet, I'd say. We got any Australian viewers that can put up a different one? I don't think there's a faster greyhound on the planet. Put it in the comment section if you can find one.
Oh, there you go. Steve Palmer, a guru of golf and greyhounds. There you go. It's a full package. Steve, as ever, it's been an absolute pleasure. I did have plans on going for an Elvis word sneak on this week's show, but you came out the traps racing. So I was behind the eight ball early doors, so I just abandoned that early on. But done again, mate. Absolutely brilliant. 80-1. Enjoy. We see from the comments there.
He was always on my mind for the Australian PGA, Elvis May, and I'm glad it all worked out.
Right. You out there watching, thanks for tuning in once again. Do remember to like, comment, and subscribe to the Racing Post YouTube channel. Enjoy the golf. Remember to get on early doors this week, 8 p.m.
Yes.
On Wednesday night, as Steve said. Gamble responsibly, and we'll see you next time.